them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, fucking that's weapon. The underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick them pie from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it going.
Hey, Big Griff killing it. I don't shout out Big Griff enough for killing the intro there. What's up with the what's up? You can probably tell, BP's a little under weather again. Yes, my daughter came down with an illness. Of course, I now have it. Razor blades in my throat. Runny stuffy nose. She's sick. She's running a fever. These fucking kids, man. You know what I mean? These kids will get you. It is the year. Halloween was cold as shit. So trick-or-treating, me handing out candy and all that stuff, that could have maybe contributed to it. However, when kids get sick, man, I get sick. You know, I used to never get sick, and I get kids, and I'm sick every 5 fucking seconds. All right, so we got to pick them for Sao Paulo, Brazil. I like this card. There's a Brazilian in every fight. I usually typically don't do great on an all-Brazil card because I have a hard time judging some Brazil fighters, some newcomers, because the records or so, whatever. But before we get to all that, I want to address 2 things at the top that I've spoken about, and I feel like I haven't addressed. 1, your boy's got his truck back, okay? I know the last time I did a podcast, I was very stressed and very upset about the truck situation. I won't go down the entire road of what happened. Essentially, a part needed to come in. They told me it might not come in for 6 months, might not come into a year. I have a lawyer buddy of mine who I didn't officially hire under any capacity. I just asked him advice, and he told me what to do. So basically, I called up the shop and told him, basically, I said, hey, listen, if you're not going to release my car to me November 2nd, my wife's having surgery November 6th, I'm going to get it back. So if you're not willing to do that, I'm going to go ahead and get my car towed to a different shop who is willing to put it back together for me. I'm going to pay out of pocket because I know Travelers sent me to you. That's my insurance. I'll deal with that later, but the fact remains I need my car, right? And I said it sternly. The lady on the phone, who was very nice, was flabbergasted, you know, and I just go, that's it. That's the deal. I'll call you back within the next 2 hours or so to tell you what's going on, right? And she said a couple things, and I just hung up, right? That's what I was instructed to do. I've never dealt with situations like this before. I just needed my fucking car back. I swear to you, within 25 minutes, I got a call from the shop. And they said, she said, I just talked to my lead tech. We can get everything put on your car except the bent trailer hitch, because obviously that's the part we're missing. But we can get everything on, right? And Travelers will pay for it. Completely changed the tune. Now, was it what I said or whatever? Were they pushing me over? Was this or that? I don't know. But I said, yeah. And then my battery died in the process. So they put I had to get a new battery. But that was not their fault. That was obviously something was going to happen. So I drop off the battery to them the next day. Truck is completely fixed. Everything's brand new in the back besides the trailer hitch. You could have done this day one. What are we doing here? Disaster averted. Don't have to worry about anything. I did have to pay stupid deductible and all that bullshit, considering someone ran into my wife, but I had to pay $500, but whatever. And then, so I got the truck back, which is the most important thing, whatever. That's great. Second thing, a thing that I've been hammering forever, and I've talked about it again. It feels like I haven't talked to you guys in a while. We've had a break and this and that. Anyway, the boxing robot is in, right? It came about 2 weeks ago. Okay. I'm not embarrassed to admit it, because I'm honest with you guys, and I haven't opened the box yet. Okay. It's in the garage. I at least moved it to the garage. But I have been so fucking lazy that I have not even opened it yet. Right? Because when I open it, you know, this is how I am, right? Either I open it and I go full force, I get it hooked up and blah blah blah. You know, I run with it, right? Or I let it sit, right? Those are 2 options. It's either 0, let it sit, or 100. I haven't got to the 100 part yet because I've been lazy as shit, right? UFC 5 came out, but playing a little bit too much of that, if I'm being honest with you. Been enjoying just sitting on the couch, prepping for these fights, trying to become a better gambler. I've gained 7 pounds. I need to hook up the boxing robot, okay? Stat. But it is in. It is sitting in the garage. I can't wait to eventually get it put on my wall and show some content, or at least show at least a video. You probably don't want to see fucking more than one video of me boxing this thing. You know, I'd be getting a little tired some. But I am excited to show you the product or whatever. But I just want to be honest with you about it. It came about 2 weeks ago, and it is sitting there. Sitting in the box. I brought it in the front door. It sat by the front door, the little walkway, for about 3 days. I brought it downstairs, got distracted, so it was sitting in front of the garage door and for 2 days, and then probably 2 days after that, I finally got in the garage, and when I brought it in the garage, I was ready to open it up, right? I was ready to carve into it and see what we needed, how to hang it on the wall, and my Green Hammer video where I smashed that glass was still everywhere, so I sweeped that up, and then, you know, things, you know, I got kids, things happened, and I didn't get to do it. But the moral of the story is no excuses, lazy as fuck. Okay. Lazy. All right. That's it. That's why I'm going to hit the two bullet points. Cause I know I brought both those up and the audience might be curious. And I just wanted to let you boys know. All right, let's get to the fights. Let's get to the pick'ems. Oh, should we talk Francis Tyson real quick? Anik and Florian did a great job. Everyone's talking about it. I sent out a tweet. I thought Tyson would get ran through, or excuse me, I thought Francis would get ran through. He did not. He looked very good. There's an argument he could have won the fight. The night the fight was happening, I was watching on my phone, and I was at a Halloween party with kids and everything with my family. So I was watching on my phone, so I didn't pay super close attention to it. I know those final two rounds, Francis did slow down enough. But I have since rewatched it, and I do think I thought Tyson edged the fight out. However, that's not the point. The point is Francis went in there, 37 years old, without pro boxing experience against the best heavyweight in today's game, right? 33-0, undefeated heavyweight, and looked goddamn good. And we are having a discussion, did he win or did he not win? That's crazy to me. That is dope. Congrats, Francis. I was 100% wrong on that. I'm glad he's having a little victory up. I'm not victory lap. I'm not so happy that there's a journalist out there. If you want to call him a journalist, he's having a victory lap too. Every time he refers to the Francis thing, he says the word we, like he's a part of it. Like he is part of Francis's managing group or whatever the fuck it is. It's kind of annoying. It's kind of like anytime the UFC it appears to take a loss or whatever this is. I don't think this is a loss for the UFC. I saw a lot of Dana White memes. I don't know how this is a bad thing for Dana White. But every time there's something that pops up that is negative in the eyes of the public to the UFC, this guy is doing a victory parade. And yet there's people that still follow him, and he's a complete fucking weasel. And yeah, I think we all know who I'm talking about. I'm not allowed talking about him. Okay. I've been instructed not to, but I think we all know who I'm talking about. All right. So let's get to the fights here. I know they've shifted some things here. New fight for Elvis Brenner. Rybovic is out, so we got a new guy here. But first fight of the night, let's see if I can pronounce these fucking names. Hey, Canua Fernandez, Kau Fernandez versus Mark DeCasey. Easy to say DeCasey here. Canua is plus 136, and DeCasey's minus 162. DeCasey has came up a little bit. D1 DeCasey, baby, right? This is a guy that really added some wrestling to his game. He's coming off two losses, though. Michael Johnson fight, very close. And then Joel Alvarez, obviously, got him by a darsh choke. Alvarez is a killer on the ground. That's what's going to happen. Mark DeCasey took him down willingly, and you're going to get wrapped up in his long arms. Joel Alvarez is kind of a weapon on the ground and the feet. But DeCasey's a solid dude. You can submit him. He is submittable. He's working on his ground game. His takedowns are very good. His takedown defense is pretty good. His cardio is checking out. On the feet, he used to be a striker, right? But on the feet, his striking, I feel like, has taken a back seat to he's trying to improve his overall game. So he's putting a lot of grappling rounds in. So I think his timing is off and his striking doesn't finish anybody anymore. He came in as a kickboxer. Now he can strike a little bit, but it's not the same. However, tough, gritty, durable. He's never been knocked out in the UFC. If you finish him, you finish him on the mat. You're not going to finish him on the feet. He gets ripped to the body and still comes forward. You know, the Fazeev fight, for example, Fazeev hit so many body shots, and DeCasey kept coming forward. He's a tough dude, good chin. Coming off two losses, I'm looking at him hungry here. And Fernandez, again, he's your typical Brazilian guy, where on paper you're like, ooh, decent record. You look in and you look at some of his wins, you know, last three or four fights have been in the LFA. Those are obviously solid wins. The LFA is a pretty good organization to bring fighters into the UFC to get them ready. But I don't know. He's just kind of safe everywhere. I don't see anything that jumps off the page to me. I think he's just pretty okay everywhere. And I just don't know if that's going to be enough to beat a vet like DeCasey. I think this is going to go over. I think the over 2.5 is the play here. I think DeCasey can mix things up and surprise this kid. There's not a lot of pop in him. Fernandez does get to a lot of first round wins, either by submission or by knockout, but against lower level competition. When he has fought tough guys, it has gone to a decision. His one loss was against a decent guy, lost by decision. I like DeCasey here. I'm not going to run to the window and bet it. I'm not going to tell you to run to the window and bet it. This isn't something I like. I like the over 2.5 if I'm going to play it. And since we were off last week, of course I'm going to play it because the only thing I gamble is MMA and I'm fucking starving for some gambling. So I'll probably play the over 2.5. DeCasey, if you have like a same game parlay situation on DraftKings or whatever book you use, DeCasey over whatever the takedowns are set or Prize Picks or Underdog Fantasy, whatever you guys are playing. The takedown prop is something to hit here. I think he's going to take Fernandez down more than one time. So that's something to hit here in overall striking. I don't think DeCasey's going to light him up. He's not a volume guy, but maybe over 35 significant strikes since I do think it's going to go three rounds. Is a nice little play there on one of those spots. I can't play Pick'em or Prize Picks in Ohio, and I can't play Underdog Fantasy in Ohio. For whatever reason, Ohio doesn't have it, but fuck me, right? Mark DeCasey's a pick. Next up, we got Montserrat Cojo Ruiz, +400 versus Irwada Mora, -535. This line is a jumping. So Montserrat, I always pronounce her name wrong. Montserrat Cojo Ruiz, Mexican fighter. She is the one that, if you don't know who she is, she's the one that took Cheyenne Blaze, Vlizmas down with the head and arm throw and just kept her there. That's like the position she does. Decision Cheyenne Vlizma. It was a little heated, bad blood, whatever. Then they go, oh, this girl's kind of interesting. She's kind of got, you know, there's something about her. Je ne sais quoi about this girl. And they feed her a man at Lemos. Lemos puts her out in round one. Then they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We got to take a step back. So they book Mallory Martin. Fight falls apart. Then they go Jacqueline Omarim. If I can pronounce that name right. Nice little prospect. Ground and pound round three. And she got dominated the entire fight. But Ruiz here sitting at +400 against a UFC newcomer. I mean, I don't know, man. That's a big number. And you got to remember.
We're talking like you know chicks. And I'm the one who knows chicks.
I know chicks, guys. Okay. And we got Mora here. Her nickname is Ronda. I got to imagine that's after Ronda Rousey. But maybe not. Maybe that's just a nickname for her. Three wins by KO, five wins by submission, one by decision. So she likes to submit people. She likes to get them to the ground, but she's a Brazilian. So you look at this record. You know, you look at these records where she's fought. 0-2, 1-3, 12-4, 2-0, 2-1, 6-3, 5-0. 5-0 in the contender series against Jana Sylvia, who's 5-1, who is, I believe, at 31, and she's fought nobody either. So the record is not great. I think she has talent. But at -535, and this number is a climbing, boys. It's a climbing. I'm going to go Ruiz as a dog shot here. You're giving me 4-1 over someone who has proven to stall a fight. I mean, again, Cheyenne Vlizmas is a good fighter. That's who she debuted against. She's dropped two in a row. Give me Ruiz here at +400. And again, that line is a moving, boys. Yeah, I'm going to take her money line straight up. Maybe decision win. I don't really know. Mora can come out and probably submit her. If you went the opposite way, I wouldn't play such chalky debuting UFC woman, even though it is in Brazil and she's a Brazilian. I would take Mora by submission if you're going to go that route. If not, Ruiz 4-1. That's what I'm taking. Your boy knows chicks. Speaking of chicks, we got another chick fight. Really good one. Angela Hill. 15-13. Don't know why I set a record. Why do I say records? +105 versus Denise Gomes. I don't think it's Gomez because she's a Brazilian. She is a -125. This could be a scrap, right? Gomez or Gomes. Dyed her hair blonde, right? Neck tattoo blonde up, right? Only one loss in UFC. Came off the contender series. Tossed around Dos Santos. lost Illumilukubumi, which is a, such a cool name. She lost before she even stepped in there. Bruna Brazil, though, Bruna Brazil, if I remember correctly, and of course I am, she was a lot of people's locks that night. People love Bruna Brazil coming out of the Contender Series. They thought she was a talented fighter. She is a talented fighter. And Gomez knocked her out in round two, knocked out Yasmin Yuragel, who I am a fan of, in round one. Got a little pop. She's going against a vet, Angela Hill, who doesn't get knocked out. She gets knocked down, but she gets back up. She's fought the fucking who's who of women's MMA, coming off a loss of Mackenzie Dern. Almost, I mean, a long time ago, she took a break. That's very uncharacteristic of old Angie Hill here, because Angie Hill likes to stay active. I'm going to go Gomes. I'm going to go Gomes here. I like the toughness. It's in my system. This is a system play for your boy. Gomes, throat tattoo, and dyed her hair blonde for this fight. Hometown Brazil. Angela Hill, on paper, is probably the best underdog on this card. She will be a lot of people's. I know she's a little puppy, but she will be a lot of people's underdog plays. She has that much experience. She's that good. She's good off the back now. Takedown offense is a work in progress, but it's getting better. On the feet, she's aggressive. In the clinch is where she's the best. Landing her elbows, landing her elbows, landing her elbows, landing her knees. But, man, I can't back off Gomes here. I think Gomes or Gomes. I can't say her name right. With the fucking neck tat and the blonde hair and the... Yeah, give me Denise Gomes. And I'm hoping I'm not confusing her, because I know Ruiz has a throat tattoo. And I swear to God, I saw this. All right, here we go. Yeah, boys. Woo! That's a killer right there. Give me my money. Give me Gomes. I love it. All right, next up, Vitor Petrino. He is -218 favorite versus Modestus Bukauskas, who is a +180 underdog. We're talking underdogs here. Listen, I like Vitor Petrino. This guy coming off the Contender Series, all he's done is just fucking bully people, right? His only little kind of fight where there's some pushback was the Anton Jokowi fight. He took Anton down 7 times. Anton took him down 5 times. He rebounded well against Marcin Praktiko, took him down 4 times and submitted him. His Contender Series fight, obviously, he submitted Rodolfo Balato, who I believe is getting a shot in the UFC coming up here. And you got Modestus Bukauskas, who got his knee absolutely destroyed, blown out. Took some time off, won some fights outside the UFC, comes in against Tyson Pedro, huge underdog. Doesn't route him, but does enough to win, lands significant shots, moves well. Close on this, if you look at the striking numbers and you look at the actual stats, fairly close. However you watch the fight, it doesn't seem it was that close. And then just completely styled on Puanga again, landing the harder shots, moving well. Another close fight here. I like Petrino here. I'm gonna rock with Petrino. This is almost a slime ball candidate. This is almost a send him home candidate. Bukauskas, before the knee injury, before kind of regrouping and winning outside the UFC, he had been finished. He had been finished by some people. Chin isn't the greatest in the world, and I think his movement's very good. His footwork is very good. Hard to get a hold of, but if Petrino gets a hold of him, this dude is just jacked up. Gets a hold of him, he's going to put him down. He's got big power on the feet as well. I don't know if he would want to play 3 rounds on the feet with Bukauskas, because Bukauskas does have that movement. He knows how to hit without getting hit. But Petrino lands something hot, right? I think if Petrino's not going to take him down, I think he can get him down by just fucking landing a shot, right? I think that could happen here. I'm high in Vitor Petrino. This is going to be a bet for me. 218 is a nice, gorgeous number. He's not a lock. He's not in any of the parlays or anything. He's not the Green Hammer. But I like this guy. Why isn't he any of those things? That's a good question. I'm just now realizing that now. I don't know. He should be. He might be like an additional lock that you can say. Vitor Petrino, though, is my guy. Next up, Victor Hugo. That's not next. It's Renit Fakhradinov, -355 versus Zaleski Dos Santos, Zaleski, Alicia, whatever, however many fucking names this guy's got, right? I love this fight for Renat Fakhradinov. This guy, great record, hasn't lost in forever. Debuts against Andres Mikulaitis, who isn't a world beater. toss him on his head five times, land 45 strikes, beat the piss out of him. I mean, beat the piss out of him, right? Then the fight that really got my attention was Brian Battle. Brian Battle is still fairly new to the MMA scene, I guess, right? He's still a work in progress, right? He's looking better every time out, but he went in there against Renat Fakhretdinov, who had so much more experience than him, and he gets dumped on his head seven times. Fakhretdinov dropped him and landed 43 strikes, an absolute piss beating. Brian Battle landed three strikes in that fight, only three. And if Fakhretdinov gets the Kevin Lee fight, they're like, oh, all right, shit, this Russian's a real fucking deal. Kind of in his prime right now, 31, 32 years old. Let's give him Kevin Lee, right? He retired Kevin Lee, right? Dropped Kevin Lee and then landed, slapped on the tightest guillotine choke. This dude is the real deal. And then Dos Santos has been around forever. This dude has been around for a long time. He knocked out Sean Strickland back in the day. Back in the 170 days, knocked out Sean Strickland, and he has fought fucking everybody. Made his UFC debut in 2015 against Nicholas Dobby, who's fighting on this card as well. Lost a decision, split decision. But since that, it's been win, 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 loss. You know, he's getting a little older in the age there. You know, it's my age. Boy's going to be 37 in December. Coming off a win over Bubakar Nurmagomedov, which wasn't the best performance, in my opinion, on either guys. But that's a tough fight to win. And he has a win over Benoit Saint-Denis, who's a stud. He landed 140 strikes, almost killed Benoit. This dude's a real deal, right? This dude's a real deal. I'm going Renat. Slimed up. Not locked up, but slimed up. The number's a little too high for him. He's slick on the feet. He moves well. His takedowns aren't predictable. His power's there. His submissions are there. I like this guy. Dos Santos, older guy, has some creative striking, can land a wheel kick, is powerful on the feet. Takedown defense is obviously becoming a law. Abubakar only landed one. He's a strong dude for 170, but I think Renat is good everywhere here. I hope he's not taking this fight too lightly, Renat. You know, he's on this great win. People are talking about him. 170 is wide open. We all want to see Renat, Chimaev. I know Chimaev's at 85 now or whatever. You know, Rachmaninoff, Ian Gary. I mean, we got so many guys at 170. That's interesting now. Hopefully he doesn't look past a 37-year-old Dos Anjos in Brazil, because he'll wheel kick your fucking head off. He is slimed up. He's not locked up. I do like him. I'm trying to decide what I like him by submission or do I like him by strikes. You know, I might lean submission, but I really don't know. Maybe a double chance situation in there. I don't know. You know, I mean, I got to figure that one out. But give me Renat Fakhretdinov. Slimed him up. I like that play. I like that play. I like that play. I like this guy. I like what these eyes are seeing, babe. I like what these eyes are seeing. All right, next up, you got Daniel Marcos. -245 versus Victor Hugo. Victor Hugo coming off the Contender Series with a knee bar. Was he an underdog in that fight? I feel like he was not getting talked about, and the other guy was. And he fucking just knee barred the shit out of him, right? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking at his record now. I mean, he's on a fucking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 fight win streak. I got to imagine he's the guy I've been talking about. And he's beating some good fucking people. Heel hook, leg injury. Well, not leg injury. That happens, right? But, you know, you got 15-7 on the 15-7, 23-9, 17-8, 3-1, 8-1, 19-3. You know, he fought, who's this guy? 22-6 now. I mean, find some guys with some records. You know, he's got a loss. He's got a couple losses on his record. Loss in Brazil, they don't keep track. Back in 2012, excuse me, just says loss. Knocked out, loss, and then rib injury. Hasn't lost in quite some time, this gentleman hasn't. But his nickname is a striker, even though he fucking leg locks everybody. I didn't love what I saw on tape. I think he's very good. I think he's aggressive. I think he's a little wild. He takes chances, which is great. Then you got Daniel Marcos, who's undefeated, who's a little bit opposite. This guy is a sniper for sure. He's aggressive, but he picks his spots. You know, the David Grant fight, very, very close fight. He won that fight, split decision out. Before that, someone out there, knee to the body, and then a Contender Series win over Brandon Lewis by decision. He's precise. He's lethal. No wasted movements on Marcos. You know, I see a lot of people love Marcos, 15-0. I think I was impressed with him a few times. I've looked back at him. Obviously, the David Grant fight is his most recent fight. You can't look too far back because guys are improving. You know, he's good. You know, this is going to be a weird one. This is, I'm avoiding this one for any parlays or whatever. My pick is Marcos. Daniel Marcos minus 245. It's an okay price. I'm sure the line's moving or whatever. But Victor Hugo can fucking seal the deal, man. He could snatch something up. He's got some real tricky submissions. I just think Daniel Marcos is too calm, patient, smart, collected, doesn't fight with emotions in there. And I think he win a decision here of Victor Hugo. I don't think Daniel Marcos is a huge finishing threat. He's got some decent striking, but I don't know if he's going to put out Victor Hugo. We'll see. It'll be interesting. If Marcos does, I was impressed. It'll be 16-0. Then it's time to take a step up at 135 once you're 16-0. All right, next up, Elvis Brenner, who I'm excited to see. He was my prelim pick on Neanik and Florian. I don't have a current line for this because he was supposed to fight Esteban Ribabix. And now we got Kanan Kusukashi. This guy's fighting out of Brazil. He was born in Brazil. How is this guy born in Brazil? Kanan Kruszewski. Hold on. I got to get this, right? Kanan Kruszewski. That's what it is. Kruszewski. I mean, 15-1 record. Taking on short notice. I mean, this guy has the most Russian, Polish, Serbian, whatever, Ukrainian last name ever. And he's 100% Brazilian. What? Don't know much about this guy. He's come on the contender series. So I did with Dylan Montello, Ray Longo's guy. He put him in a rear naked choke round one. Dylan made some mistakes in that fight, but aggressive. He's taking this fight in short notice after a nice contender series win. I like that. I like risking that a little bit. Again, got a lot of fights all in Brazil. Except the contender series fight outside of Brazil. So he's feeling at home. Nine wins by submission, four by KO, two by decision. Guy likes to get to the ground. And then you got Elvis Brenner, who this dude jumped on the UFC scene. And I couldn't have bet more against him. He fought Zubara, first time out, split decision win, very close. But that's your debut in enemy territory, or was that the one in Australia? Was that the one in Australia? Yeah, that was the one in Australia. So not enemy territory, but you're flying to Australia. You're on the same card as Islam and Volkanovski, and you fucking, you know, split decision win over Zubar. Maybe people said, oh, he doesn't get that. So then he goes, a couple months later, fights Guram Kutsalate, who is, or was at least at one point, Chimaev's right-hand man. Guam is a guy who was, I think, was undefeated in the UFC at this point, or maybe has dropped a couple splits. I can't remember. No, let me just click on him. I'll figure it out. I know he debuted against Gamera. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, lost Demir before that, but very close fight against Demir. Brenner knocks him out, right? He got comfortable in there, landed strikes, took strikes, landed some takedowns over Guam, which is not easy to do. And you know, he went out there and won. And then all I know about this Krusevsky guy, besides his fucking Russian last name, is this fight from the contender series. I couldn't find any more other fights on him. There are so many MMA cappers on Twitter now that when you type in a guy's name to see some footage of him, everyone's pick'em page like this comes up. I kind of love it. Everyone's doing their thing out there. This space and everything's growing. That's dope. But also it's like, ugh, I would love to see some footage of this guy. So I went back and watched the contender series fight. And again, Dylan Montello made some mistakes. Dylan Montello is a Ray Longo prospect who I think is very good, but it's still a little young. Maybe that was a little too early for him to jump to the contender series or not. But listen, Longo's guys are the fucking best. Who am I to say that? Maybe he was ready or not. That fight wasn't his best showing. And then, you know, he got choked out by Kalon here. So I'm going to go Elvis Brenner. He was my prelim pick when he fought Ribavix on the Anakin 4, and I gave him extra. Let me see if I can chase this line here because it's not on DraftKings, I don't think. Let's check DraftKings first. This is not sponsored by DraftKings, but man, if they cut me a check, that'd be nice. All right, so I don't, hold on, blah, 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 blah. I don't see it on here. Okay, so once you leave DraftKings, you got to go to the second best website there is. Best fight odds. Boom. Here we go. Brenner. Okay, so Brenner is a minus 186 opening on Bet River, and Unibet's got him at 186, and then Betway's got a minus 200. So you 2-1-ish. Give me Brenner. I like that spot for him. And yeah, I like that. That's not a parlay piece. That might be a single bet there. Might try to get him in early when he opens on DraftKings. But yeah, give me Brenner. Give me Brenner, baby. All right, it's Ishmael Bonfim -550 versus Vince from El Pachel, baby. I got to be honest with you. Flip-flopping like a goddamn fish out of water on this one. I said it on the Anakin Forum. As we picked this in the Anakin Forum, I don't know. I went Bonfim on Anakin Forum, and now I'm having second guesses. I have Bonfim written down here, but I'm having second guesses because Vince Pichel. What tripped me up is the age. Vince is 40. Bonfim is 30, 27. That's 13 years there. And then if you look at a 9-year age different, the younger fighter wins 80-something, you know what I mean? And Bonfim, I think, is the better fighter. I think he's the better fighter, hands down. I think he is a better striker. I think his grappling's better. I just think if he gets taken down and gets put in Vince's pace, it's a fucking problem, right? Vince fights once a year. Once a year he comes out and he does the same thing. He rocks that sick-ass mustache. He fucking grinds you out. It's going to be a close fight regardless. The over is in play, I think, here. I like the over. I think it's at 2.5. So give me the over. Don't know what the number is. Add it to my card. As far as the fight goes, I'm going to go Ishmael. I'm going to stick with my guns. That's what I picked on the Anakin 40. And I don't want to flip-flop and give 10 different picks on 10 different fucking shows. But I'm nervous. I'm uncomfortable making this bet. I think Ishmael Bonfim is a very good fighter. I think he ran into Benoit Saint-Denis last time. Vince Pichel is not Benoit Saint-Denis. They do not have the same skills. However, Vince Pichel is all man. He's from hell. And he will grind you out if you are not ready for it. But I do think Ishmael in Brazil is going to be the better fighter. Give me Ishmael. Give me the over. I'm not comfortable. All right, next up. Rodolfo Vieira. -108 versus Armand Petrosian, -112. Styles make fights, baby. Clash of styles, striker versus grappler. I was actually surprised when I did some research on this fight how many times Armand Petrosian has actually been taken down. I thought his takedown was solid, daytime defense was solid. It's not. He gets taken down quite a bit. He works his way back to the feet. Rodolfo Vieira is going to shoot on you, and he's a big, strong guy, and I think he's going to get Petrosian down. If you get a guy like Vera on top of you, on your back, it might be a wrap. Petrosian has never been submitted, as far as I know, if my memory serves, in MMA. He's tough on the feet. He fights well moving back. He could catch Vieira with a strike moving, you know, moving off his back foot to try to avoid the takedowns. You know he's trained not to get taken down and to protect himself when he gets up, but Vieira is a different level. Kenny Florian knocks it out of the park when he talks about Vieira, though. You see a guy step in the cage who's not mentally there. He's nervous. He's not in the fight or flow state yet. You know, he spent so much time in jiu-jitsu. Is he a full-fledged MMA guy yet? We don't know because he looks nervous when he gets in there. I like his resolve, though. Gets embarrassed by Hernandez, which is not embarrassing because Fluffy Hernandez is a stud, but getting submitted when you're this high-level black belt gassing out, that was embarrassing to his community where he's from. So he rebounds well, comes in against Dustin Stolfoots and submits Stolfoots in round 3, doesn't look tired at all. Then he fights my guy Chris Curtis, shoots about 6,100 times, gets stuffed, was landing good strikes in Chris because Chris was worried about the takedowns. Competitive fight, Chris wins the decision. And his last time out, God damn it, Brian, who was his last time out? Oh, you had this. You've been practicing this. Last time out versus Cody Brundage. There it is. Cody Brundage, a decent grappler in his own right. Not afraid of the ground. Got taken down, got beat up, got submitted by Rodolfo Vieira. It's next level on the ground. Arm Petrosian is rocking, what is it, like a 26% takedown defense or something like that? It's not good. 36% takedown defense. Christian Leroy Duncan, his last time out, a very good win for him. That's a striker. It's the only fighter who he did not get taken down by. Dobson got him down 3. Borrello got him down 4. Greg Rodriguez got him 2. Kyloff got him down 3. Greg Rodriguez, not a submission threat, not going to choke you out on the ground. He has his abilities. Kai Borrello is a submission threat. He survived, lost a lopsided decision. And then AJ Dobson, again, good wrestler, not a submission threat. And then Christian Leroy Duncan, obviously, didn't get a takedown. Vieira's going to go for broke. So I like round 1 submission for Vieira. I think you got to play that. Add that to my card. And I'm taking Vieira here as well. I think once you get out of the first round, if it's a dominant first round, Vieira, and he doesn't finish, I think you load up on Petrosian. This is a very good live betting spot because he's probably going to be an underdog after the first round if he gets nominated. You load up on Petrosian, kind of read the body language, see what Bear is doing because he's gassed before, but he's also come out and he's looked pretty good before against Cody Brundage, against whatever. I think it's all about the confidence building. And Petrosian is a really lights out, good striker. Not the biggest power in the world, but clean, great kicks. So Vieira's got to watch out for all that. But I like Rodolfo Vieira here. One of the harder fights to pick on this card, but we're doing it. All right, next up, Kai Borrello, minus 285 versus Abus Magomedov, plus 230.
He ain't got no game.
Wrong,
but Mortal Lock. Mortal Lock, baby. Mortal Lock Demon is here to tell you, Kai Borrello, Mortal Lock.
And he's a signball candidate as well. And... oh, the big dog, baby. We're back. This fucking thing's back. Last time I brought this out, it won, baby. It won for you. I'm ready to win for you again. So I like Kai Borrello here big. He's my mortal lock. He's in my slime ball parlay. I think Abus Magomedov is overrated. I think he got thrown to the wolves, and everyone's like, well, Sean Strickland's so good, and, you know, he's the champ. So, yeah, but I think the guy is good for one round on the feet. He's got long limbs. Other than that, I think Kai is going to take it to him, take him to the ground, and beat him up on the ground. Abus has been submitted before. His grappling is not good. One of his teammates just came out and said his grappling is very weak. Kai Borrello is constantly getting better in there. He's a big guy for 85. He's hungry. He wants the spotlight. He wants to win. It's in Brazil. This is your no-brainer mortal lock of the week. Slimed him up, too. But you're wondering why I got this big fucking beautiful green hammer out. And I'll tell you. Alternate method. Go to DraftKings. Alternate method. Green hammer. Kai Borrello to win between in rounds one or two. +120. Woo! Kai Borrello. Alternate method. To win in rounds one or two. +120. Yeah, baby! Plus money, green hammers dig us out of holes. This green hammer is doing the work, digging us out of these holes when it's a plus money, multi-unit prop play, baby. Woo! Woo! That's all I gotta do. That's all I gotta do. Turns me into Ric Flair, baby. Woo! Kai Borrello, rounds one or two, +120. Booked it. Already bet it. Line might move. Already got the slime ball in there, too. If you're on the MMA Takes group betting chat, whatever it is on DraftKings, which for some reason they won't let me add more people. I apologize if you're trying to get in there. DraftKings, what are we doing here? However, if you're in that group, you probably already seen the bets. Confident. I'm confident. Now, a fight I'm not confident about, Rodrigo Nascimento, -185 versus Dontel Mays, +154. So these guys already fought before. No one cares. No one knows. Nascimento just submitted them. Dontel Mays has now since improved his ground game, improved his wrestling, improved his cardio, his training with John Jones. He was the one that hurt John Jones. I know he really didn't hurt John Jones. They were just drilling. It happens. A lot of Dontel Mays love here. Listen, Dontel Mays knocked out Andre Arlovski. When Dontel Mays was coming up in Kentucky, and I've said this like a broken record so many times, I watched him fight, and he was knocking everyone dead. People were afraid of this guy. 6'6", big, deep voice, black dude, who was knocking people dead, and he wasn't nice about it. He's not helping people up off the mat, shaking their hand, right? He ain't doing that. Like, this dude was mean. Goes through the Contender Series, finally gets a shot in the UFC, and he's improved his game because you have to. The ground game is improving, but Nascimento is hittable. You take away your reach because Dontel kind of fights low. Stand a little taller, man, and just fight behind your hands a little bit. Land on Nascimento, who's only 6'2". He's a big boy himself, but Nascimento wants to get this fight to the ground. Dontel Mays has got to play this fight. The floor is lava, right? Because Dontel off his back isn't great. I like Nascimento here. I would love a Dontel Mays knockout. If I'm up on the night, if I'm having a good night, if the green hammer just cashed, I might spritz. I ain't say sprinkling, spritzing on Dontel Mays by knockout. It's probably a decent little number, but I'm going to go Nascimento here. I feel like he has his number. I feel like Nascimento is good on the ground. Cardio for a guy built like him is checks out pretty good. And even though Dontel was getting in some work with the greatest of all time, John Jones, plus numbers, nice. Heavyweights. I'm going to go Nascimento, though. I'm going to go Nascimento probably by submission, but, you know, I don't love that either. I'm not sure if I love this fight on a betting standpoint, but I'm going to pick Nascimento. Maybe spritz on Mays by KO. All right. Sorry for sniffing the microphone right there. I just had a lot of right there. All right. Next up, co-main event, Gabriel Bonfim, the other Bonfim brother, minus 575. This is Nicholas Dabi, the Danish Dynamite. What am I going to do here?
Hello? Okay, this is Dog.
Give me the dog. Give me the dog. Give me the dog, baby. Nicholas Dabi doesn't get finished. Yes! Jesse Ronson finished him with a whole load of steroids in his ass, okay? Fight has been overturned. This guy doesn't get finished, right? Gabriel Bonfim only finishes people, right? That's all he does. Something's got to break here, right? Dobby's getting a little bit older in age, but he's funky in there. He's weird in there. Bonfim's got to hit him with something hot in round one. Try to get that guillotine. Try to get the rear naked choke. This guy's chokes are deadly. But what happens after round one, baby? What happens after round one, right? This number is too big for what if happens after round one. There's too many answers with Gabriel Bonfim. I think he's an incredibly talented fighter. I think he could be the future of this division for sure. He's a little wild on the feet. He's aggressive. But, man, Dabi is awkward. Everything he throws is awkward. Cardio for days. Big for the division. Has been in there with fucking everybody. And you're hanging this big of a number on me. I'm going to take it. I'm going to dog lock it up because I don't have many other dogs in the card. Plus 425 in the pocket. Now, for people going, Peachy, you're crazy. PP, big gun, you're fucking nuts. This Bonfim brother, he's the best. He's the better Bonfim brother. You're better off taking Vince Pichel. I agree with that argument. That could be a very good argument that you have. However, Bonfim's last four fights have all been finishes. He hasn't been to a decision. He hasn't been pushed in a while. His confidence is growing. He's going to come out there in Brazil, confident against Dabi. So, I wouldn't mind you playing Bonfim finish, maybe submission, round one. Just to hedge your bet, but put a little bit on Dabi plus 425, maybe even Dabi by decision. I don't think he's getting a finish unless Bonfim completely gasses out in round three. Nicholas Dabi doesn't have a finish in the UFC. So I don't see him finishing Bonfim. I see him winning decision, so I play by decision, which is going to be a nice little number. Plus 425 is even a really nice number for a money line for a guy who's kind of a dog in there. Don't love his age, though. Everyone's on Bonfim's dick. This line is way out of whack. I'm taking a shot on Nicholas Dabi, the Danish Dynamite, baby. And, we'll be celebrating if it hits. If not, guess what? we lost. That's what. I had nothing clever after that. I had a fucking thing shoot down my throat. All right, main event. Johnson Almeida, jail time, minus 500 versus Derek Lewis, plus 375. I got messages saying, hey, one message. Hey, on the Ankin Florian, you didn't talk about Derek Lewis at all. You're overlooking Derek Lewis. And I 100% am. I am. I'm overlooking him. I don't get him right. Never. If I overthink it, I'll lose the fight. Johnson Almeida, to me, is the better fighter, the younger fighter, the more well-rounded fighter. Does he have enough? Does he have power like Derek Lewis? Of course not. Does he have the Derek Lewis experience? Of course not. But Johnson Almeida is going to come out there. He's going to throw a fucking kick up the middle or a high kick, and he's going to immediately shoot for a takedown. If he gets Derek Lewis down, I think it's a wrap. Derek Lewis is really good at standing up, right? Jiu-Jitsu's not real, bitch. I'm standing up. I don't think that's going to work because I think Almeida is strong, big, long, athletic. And I think he stands up. He's getting his back taken. He stands up. It's going to be a problem here. I could be wrong. Listen, Derek Lewis can land an uppercut when Joutin is shooting in and Joutin could get flatlined. That would not surprise me. People are saying there's value in Derek Lewis. I'm not going to argue that. But I am on Joutin Almeida. So big here. He's going to send him home. First round sub is how I'm playing this. Let me say that again. Send him home. First round sub, Joutin Almeida. That's how we're playing it. And he's a slime ball candidate, baby. Woo! There it is. Before we get to the slime ball, send him home, Joutin Almeida, first round sub. Two. Mortal Lock, Kai Borrello, also part of the Green Hammer. Kai to win in rounds one or two, plus 120. Already booked it, right? He's also a slime ball candidate. Then we got the dog lock, Nicholas Dobby, plus 425. I also like him by decision. Maybe I'll put it in the edit when I get the number at whatever. Gorgeous number, I'm sure. So those are my three locks. Green Hammer, I gave you. Slime Ball Parlay, Jalton Almeida. Yep. Kai Borrello, Fight Nerd. Yep. Renat Fakhradinov. Yeah. Plus 112. I'm a little embarrassed by giving you a slime ball that's plus 112, right? That I got to imagine that's like a guy hooking up with a chick first time, taking his pants down. He's got a little tic-tac dick. This is what I got, right? I feel embarrassed a little bit because I'm hyping it up. I'm giving these names and it's plus 112. But this is what I got. This is a winner. I'm sending winners, baby. We're sending winners. That's a fucking winner right there. Guaranteed winner. If it's not guaranteed, all my next picks are free. There it is. All my next picks are free. If that loses, I stole that from Big Calf and Barstool. Very funny bit. All right, that's it. That's the show. That was a good show. I was a little under the weather in the beginning, and you guys picked me up, and I kind of just, my energy flowed. The fucking podcast juice flowed. I'm off work this week. This is a midday recording. I feel great. Imagine if I could do this full time. If this was my full-time job, the energy I would give you guys, everything, the passion I'd bring you guys, God damn, I need to do this for a living. Anyway, hit that subscribe button. Subscribe to the channel. I love y'all. Don't know why I said y'all. Anik and Florian merch, johnanik.com. Go get that merch. I'm one of my little dumb heads on the Street Fighter t-shirt, which is dope, but all the merch over there is dope. johnanik.com to get that. They're the best. Tweet at John Anik. He'll follow you or X him, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Follow me at Brian PG MMA on all social medias. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. And let's win some fucking money, babe.
Let's make some picks with our man Brian PG. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Petrie yet again. Motherfuckers. Some picks with our man Brian Petrie.